taking pictures. Everybody was shooting videos about the company, and I couldn't talk about the company. I was like, I don't want to talk about them. I'm going to talk about how to build your brand on the internet.
This is Ola coming to you live from our Empire Pro Studios. On this episode, I have another queen, and I'm excited. I get a little bit more excited when I have the queens on because there's this stigma that we have in this industry. You know, people have it at the back of their mind. They think only men can win this game. And I was actually corrected a few days ago by the great Diane Hawkman that, you know, that's actually not true in the direct sales arena, probably more on the internet. But either way, I'm excited to be a part of the proof that anyone can make it in this game. And we're going to dig into it today. I'm going to let her tell you her story. We go way back, and she's very gracious to show up here today. Not everybody agrees to this, just so you know, to come give a ton of value for the next 30 minutes to as long as we continue to have fun. So without any further ado, Nicole Cooper, Nicole S. Cooper.
Hey, hey, hey.
How you doing?
How are you, darling?
I'm doing great. You wanted me to put that S, did you?
Nicole. I put the S because Nicole Cooper is so basic. It's so many of us. Put the S factor in there.
Nice, nice, nice. Very cool. So I'm excited to have you here. When I messaged you, you didn't see the message. So you must be getting bombarded in your inbox at all times on Facebook with all kind of stuff. Isn't that the case?
It is the case. Mm. I do get a lot of requests, but hey, you know what? I'm excited to be here. It's a beautiful thing to be in a position to share your story, share your journey wherever possible. So thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You know, anytime you are opportune to be exposed to doing something greater than life or greater than the mediocre, right? Or greater than the status quo, the average, people automatically assume there must be some kind of, it must be kind of not true, right? So I just managed to put the recording so everybody can see us side to side to side, right? So people assume that maybe something is not true about it, you know, because most of us, human beings, we're raised to just do things in mediocre, just get by, just as long as you're living. Then you hear things like, at least you're doing just this, right? And so when we come into this arena, it's very difficult for an average mind to go through the mindset shift that is needed to succeed. And I know way too many people that are still struggling, even people that have done okay, people that have made $10,000, $15,000, but they're struggling on the mindset part of the deal. How you put on this mindset in this game?
I had a mentor tell me, he was explaining the difference between the conscious mind and the subconscious mind. And it reminds me very much so of your mindset. But he said, your conscious mind is like a horse. Your subconscious mind is like a jockey. Right. And the jockey is telling the horse where it wants to go at all times. Mm. So whatever thoughts you have in your mind, whether I can't do it, this doesn't really work, this will never happen, I'm going to fail anyway, you are allowing that jockey to steer the ship, to steer the horse and direct where it's going to go. So in essence, whatever you believe, you become. And mindset is everything. You know, we used to have a guy, you know, Jeffrey Combs used to talk about this, more heart than talent. Mm-hmm. It's not about being good at something. It's about believing so much that even if you're not good, you still can become one of the greatest in the game because your belief system will drive you to the result. No matter whether you do it or you hire people to do it, it will drive you to the result. So I think a lot of people don't understand, but mindset is that is the most critical piece in this process. People think work. If I just sit in front of a computer for 10 hours, somehow magically I'm going to make it. But there's people like, you know, they've been around just as long as we have, but they're still struggling to, you know, to build any sense of recognition or brand or presence. And so it boils down to mindset. I mean, mindset is 100% of the game. What do they say? 99% they say 99% perspiration, 1% inspiration, but it's right. really 99% mentality.
Right.
And then what you do, you know, and that 1% is the action, but the mentality is everything. It dominates.
Absolutely. And it could sound cliche all you want. Just take it. It's the truth, you know, because it's an ongoing struggle as well. So your story, tell us how you got here. Entrepreneurship. This is not normal stuff, right? This is, you have to be crazy to be engaged in what we do.
Yeah. You know what?
Craziness, right?
I've been an entrepreneur all my life. I'm one of those people that are children of immigrants. And, you know, I think it's a beautiful thing to be a child of an immigrant because we see opportunities where most people won't. And so growing up, my parents were hustlers. They did whatever they needed to do to make things happen. And that spirit transferred over to me. Like I started selling candy and baking cakes at 9 and running errands for my neighbors. And I remember by the time I got my first job at 15, which was at Taco Bell, I was also selling candy. And the check that I would make every 2 weeks from my time working at Taco Bell, I would make in 1 week selling candy, you know, at school. And I was like, what's the point of getting this job? I learned early on the power of making, putting forth your own effort to make money. And so when I went to college, I pretty much, I tried about 15 different majors. I was like, none of this fits me, but I'm gonna do an internship and see if I wanna do this whole corporate thing. And so I did an internship. I hated it. But I told myself, I'm going to finish what I start. I'm going to give these people my year as promised. But I promise when I finish this internship, I will never work for another person again in my life. And so I ended up graduating with a college degree while being a waitress at Red Lobster for 3 years. And I loved it because it gave me, it showed me the power of freedom and flexibility. If you didn't want the shift, you can hand it over. You made money that day. It was like a hustle.
Right.
And I also knew I wanted to get into real estate. So I worked at Red Lobster and I was a substitute teacher while trying to get my real estate license. And that led into real estate. I went from moving to a city where I knew two people to becoming one of the top real estate agents in the city within a year. Mm-hmm. And as a result of the market collapsing, we went from being big time, you know, six figure earners in the game and investors to losing it all, broke, bankrupt, foreclosed, repossession, homeless, on welfare, and pregnant. And so so when that happened, I tell people, when you learn how to make money once, you can do it over and over again.
Absolutely.
So I remember having to let everything go. I remember telling my husband, like, look, the market is shifting. It's time to let this stuff go. And I used to read a lot of books and listen to a lot of audios. And I'll never forget, I heard them say the average millionaire filed bankruptcy 2.3 times before they became a millionaire. So I was like, well, one down, right? Let's keep it moving. This is not a big deal.
Yeah.
But my goal was to find the next trade. I said, I was good in real estate, but let me find a trade that can bring me the same level of income. And so while pregnant, living in a spare bedroom of a friend's house, I got online and I just started searching for ways to make money online. And this is 2007 when pop-ups ran, the, you know, pop-ups were everywhere.
Yeah.
And I would see all these pop-ups with people boasting in front of their fancy cars and in front of the on gondolas in Venice or in front of the Sphinx in Cairo. And I'm like, okay, what are these people doing that I need to do? And I wasn't offended. I wasn't thinking scam. I was thinking opportunity. Like, if I can be that guy with my stuff popping up on the computer, then I'll be in a better position than we're in now. So that started my journey. I was broke and I called my dad and I was like, Dad, listen, I think I found our way out of our situation. Would you sponsor me? Would you loan me some money so I can get these tools? They're saying I need an autoresponder and they're saying I need to buy this course and I need this. And so I was like, can you sponsor me? And I'll put your name down and you can get all the checks that come in. I just want to learn the skill. And so so my dad did. He gave me his credit card and he said, use it for whatever you need to use it for. He was like, I believe in you. And I did. I put his name on my first couple of affiliate checks and he still gets paid to this day. So that was like the best investment for him. Yeah. He would get $1,000 checks coming every month and he would call me like, yeah, you did it. Good job. Right. But that was my commitment to him was, you sponsor me, you can get the money. I just need to learn a skill. And so that was it.
Nice. Nice. That's a fantastic story. Here's the thing. I think we all have very unique ways that we came into the business. And, but it's kind of funny that you mentioned real estate over there. I noticed that there's a lot of people, in the internet marketing or network marketing that have backgrounds in real estate. What do you think it is?
When you get into real estate, you're used to big checks. You know, we would get $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 a month coming in. When you've learned the power of making that level of income, you can't go back to average. And so it also gives you a freedom and a flexibility. And you have such a hustle. I was just talking to somebody about real estate. When you have to have a closing by the end of the month to feed your kids, you know how to go out and make things happen.
Right.
And what I find, especially from that recession stage, were people just like me. They were like, listen, there's no way I can get a job making $8 an hour, $10 an hour. I have to find something comparable to what I'm used to with this lifestyle, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes. And so, you know, that hustle is there. The commitment is there, and the investment is there. We know what it's like to invest in yourself because you spend thousands of dollars in real estate to build your brand and all this stuff. Yeah. So it's an equal mentality. You understand investing in yourself, putting forth the effort, and reaping a big return, not just minimal, mediocre returns, but big returns. So, yeah.
So they understand the hustle. They understand the hustle and the need for investment.
Yeah, they understand the hustle. And the thing about this is the difference between real estate offline and real estate online or offline, being in a real estate market versus online marketing, right, is this online real estate. Yes. We have the ability to create a presence and create income all over the world every single minute of the day, right, by creating as much real estate on the internet as possible. And so that in and of itself puts us in position to like do what we got to do. Like we're literally, my husband and I, we just had a meeting about some stuff that we're setting up now for our kids to start building their own businesses online.
Absolutely.
So it's similar money, and it has a similar impression, long-term income if you do it right online, if you build the right real estate online.
Absolutely. And that's why I coined the term back in 2012, I think 11, actually more like 10, network marketing 2.0, which involves internet marketing, network marketing, as well as real estate investing. That's my background. That's what I believe in. That's how I got into the game too, back in 2004 and 5. And even though I took a break because of the recession back in 2009 from real estate, it never left me, you know, I didn't have peace until I went back into it. So I'm glad that you touched on that because it's all one of the same, pretty much same. And people in real estate that understand it traditionally right now, I'm telling them, when it comes to brand building, you know, like Ray Higgins said, you don't have to build your brand online, but you also don't have to dominate. If you want to dominate, then that's absolutely what you need to do. Now, let's talk about companies. You know, I know you a little bit, right? I know you've been a part of a few companies here and there. You see companies come and go in the network marketing. Back in 2010, people were being denier about the internet, right? But eventually everybody started to catch on, maybe around 2011, 12 or something like this, a company called, I forgot the name, TBA or something like that, that came on board, and everybody started spamming everywhere with their deal, right? So now everybody starts to catch on. And when that happens, marketers, you know, obviously they destroy everything, right? So now you've been a part of a few companies. What's your take these days? Okay, it's been about 6-7 years now. What's your take these days on when someone is looking for a company to join or a company to partner with? What are your feelings on companies are still coming and going? How would you want a person, if you want a person to be careful, how would you do it?
You know what? I tell people, don't chase the money, chase the skill. I think one of the benefits that we had starting out was everything was so new to us that we were impressed with what was happening, that we really invested the time to learn. Right. The problem now is marketing And unfortunately, and I tell people this all the time, people love to be lied to. They love to be sold on the result and they want to avoid the process. So they love being told that you can make $1 million overnight just clicking this one button and paying a fee. And then they get pissed when they don't make the money, because the reality is when you tell them what they got to do to make the money, they quit and they're on to the next deal looking for the promise of overnight success. Mm. I love the fact that we came in, and I like to call us like a class, right? We're like the class. I don't know. You've been around longer than I have, but we're like the class of 2008.
Yeah.
That's when we really, really got started online. So there's like a group of us that all came in together. We would see each other's videos and we started collaborating in different companies. Yeah. But our class was hungry. Our class was very devoted to the learning process.
Right.
Committed to mastering a skill. And so literally now the majority of them are at seven-figure incomes because we spent 12, 13, 14, 15 hours in front of the computer not moving, because we would go through learning HTML to create a lead capture page. We would lose our blog 10 times and still go ahead and recreate it. We would stay up hours trying to learn SEO. We would shoot our own videos, edit them, make sure we had the keywords mastering. Like, we truly wanted to learn the skill.
Right.
And so I think what's happening now is people are very impatient and they're being sold with nickels. They're being sold that you can get overnight results. And they're looking at people who've been around like us for 8, 9, 10 years, and they're saying, I want to do what you're doing, not understanding that we have such a PhD in what we do, right? As far as the time and hours, you know, they say it takes 10,000 hours to master a skill. We've probably put in 30,000.
Yeah.
You know, since we've been in this industry, and we eat, drink, and sleep what we do. We're at every conference, we're spending money on courses. You know, I have a library that's probably worth six figures because I spend so much money learning skills and learning stuff. I tell people my computer is worth millions of dollars because of the information on it. When it comes to joining businesses, I tell people, you know, most people want the magic bullet. But if you truly want to become that success story, that one that's in the front of the room or, you know, being interviewed or plastered all over social media and everybody's talking about them, you got to put in your work. You got to master your craft and really know your skill. So look at companies that are going to position you for growth. Most people don't want that. That really is not the sexy answer. People are like, tell me sexy stuff. Like, what is the secret? Like, okay, you want to know the secret? You know, I got a bunch of big checks sitting in my hallway. So when people come, they're like, man, well, how did you get these checks? Mm-hmm. And it's like, they don't want to know how I really did it. They want me to tell them some kind of Cinderella story. Yeah. Yep. That the fairy godmother came and gave me until midnight to do three things. And I did it by midnight. And then the money magically appeared. But I would say, if you're looking at companies now, it's not just about the company. It's about who are you connected to? You know, what is it that they're what kind of leaders are you connected to? The relationships that you can build. You know, you are the result of your five closest friends. You know, what circles are you going to be connected to? I think we look at stuff just from a monetary standpoint, but you are the money. You know, the level of value in which you bring to the table will dictate the kind of money you can create. If you are empty with nothing to give, the world is not going to pay you for your emptiness. They're going to pay you for your value. So you have to be in environments that are going to help elevate you to value. Now, can you go out here and join a business and sell some stuff online? Yeah, but guess what? The internet is so freaking noisy. Now, how are you going to stand out? Like, I did a thing the other day. I'm like, go do Facebook and look at all the ads. And I promise you, if you look at 20 out of 30 ads, they all say the same thing. It's just a different picture, a different person, but they all say the same thing. How do you stand out from a crowd is the value you bring. I don't care if you spend $10,000 on a photo shoot, $20,000 on a website, you have a staff of people who you pay ridiculous amounts of money to. If when you get in front of a crowd, nothing you say is going to move that crowd, you will never make any money. So you have to become a person of value, and it will make all the difference in the world.
You know, one of my favorite testimonials was a testimonial you gave us back in, I think, 2011, I'm not sure. But you had a say there that's really one of my favorite saying up today. You said, there's a lot of people online say a whole lot of nothing. You know, and that was 2011, so it's 2016 right now. If you see how far we've come since then, it's gotten even worse.
It's worse.
And you know, I like to look at it like this, you know, I mean, things are getting faster. There's a lot more noise. And it just means the more the need for you to really stand out and have some kind of value to bring to the table. But there's something that hasn't really gotten old. And that's if you learn the craft. If mm-hmm. you learn the craft and you give value out here, there's just very low competition in that arena right there. You know? Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, this is the era of a trade and skill, not a degree. So you get paid in this day and age for what you know and what you can do with what you know. Mm-hmm. It's not about certification stuff matter, mm-hmm. but it really is about mastering your craft. I mean, you have kids now who are 16 years old who have multi-million dollar businesses mm-hmm. because of them spending that time behind their computers or whatever and figuring out how to become a problem solver. And, mm-hmm. you know, you said it best, like, it never gets old being somebody that can really create value. I tell people don't need any more information. People need transformation. They need a true encounter that makes them feel like, oh my gosh, I now see how this works to my life and I can apply it and truly see a difference. Sure. With all this noise, you know, I did a video the other day, it's getting out of hand with people who are bringing out $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 programs and they just get people in them and then they dump them and go look for the next lead. Yeah. You know, and people are being suckered up like left and right to pull extreme amounts of money out because of somebody's ability to put a pretty brand out there on the internet.
Yeah.
But I tell people, you can be wealthy. The people who make some of the most money, their websites suck. You don't even know, like, they're not even on social media. They have a website that somebody else managed because Absolutely. They're so focused on teaching and training and giving hardcore value and physically impacting people that they're not sitting around coming up with the most clever Facebook ads. They might hire a company for that later in life, right? But, you know, it's about what you can give and what you can bring to the table. And like you said, your ability to stand out from the crowd. I was telling somebody, I said, you know, you have so many frauds out. Now, I'll never forget when I was in high school on career day, we had this guy come. I think he worked for the IRS or he was CIA or FBI or something like that. And he talked about the fact that in their training, they had to study every dollar currency, every currency that they had, every dollar amount, the dollar bill, the $5, $2, $20. He said they had to study it so much where they understood every intricacy of it that every time a counterfeit came across, they immediately spotted it out because they were so ingrained into what the real deal looks like.
Yep.
What's happening now in this era for most of us, when you put that time in to really invest in your industry, you become so ingrained on what the real deal is that you can spot out a fake a mile away. And you start finding yourself being very, what I call discerning on people who you get connected to. You know, I recently had an encounter with somebody that I looked up to because their brand was brilliant, mm-hmm. but it took one meeting with them that I realized I'm paying you to coach you. There's no way you might be good at certain things, mm-hmm. but you're not qualified to lead me. They just weren't qualified because every question I asked, they didn't know anything about it. And I just pulled my business from. I'm like, no, this is not who I need to be doing business with. I didn't feel good about it. I could tell that that person was all about getting the money and there was no true interest in investing in your growth. And I cut the cord. I'm like, no, I'm not doing business with you. Right. And so, you know, we have to be very clear on what we want, and it all starts with you understanding your vision, and then now you start aligning the right fit with that vision with the people who you associate yourself with. So I know
absolutely crazy stuff. Now you mentioned something about the class of 2008, 2009. You know, that's when I came online. You're absolutely right about that. The first product I purchased was through a platform that we're both a part of, MLSP.
Yes.
Well, that wasn't the first product, but that was the first product that I went in on. I think I spent about $700 that first day. It was like a $10 trial or something like that, but I spent about $700 because there was a video challenge, a storytelling challenge where you have to go in. If you remember the traffic geyser where you just do like 10 videos up front, 10 videos asking questions, answering questions, whatever, you know, just to go out there and crazy dominate. After that, then you have to spread the news out there and then just going hard, right? Without worrying about money, just about giving value. They were teaching that heavy. Now, these days, just put money in here and then money will pour out. Essentially, that's essentially the kind of message you see, you know. And it's kind of funny that you mentioned that, because it's still an ongoing struggle, because even as leaders, you know, you always have this level where you're at. Everybody's looking at you like you're doing well, right? But then inside of yourself, you know that, listen, I need to be right here, right? And that struggle is there. You may be comparing yourself to even another person that on the outside looks like they're doing better, right? And that's a big struggle for me personally. You know, I may see a deal and I'm like, maybe their funnel is better. Maybe I can move a little faster. Are you encountering this type of, over the time, have you ever encountered this type of struggle?
I have been struggling with that for the past, God, forever. I think this year was the first year I made a decision to no more, not be in the I call it the entrepreneurship rat race, where you feel like you have to chase a whole nother level.
I call it the new rat race.
Yeah, it is the new rat race, yeah. Right? Yeah. It is the new rat race. You're looking at what this guy's latest strategy is, and you're trying to keep up with this strategy and that strategy. I think for me last year, I hit a breaking point. And the reason why is because you start, when you make money, you start realizing that it's more to the money. It's more than the money. It has to be a level of fulfillment that's coming along with every ounce of energy and effort you're putting into something. So when it gets to the point where you bringing in five figures a month, that's just your routine now, but you don't want to get out of bed because you're dreading your day, that's a problem. Yeah. And what happened for me is it began to feel like work. It began to feel like I don't feel like being bothered. I mean, I literally stopped wanting to be around people. I just kind of had a little breakdown. I was like, I was burned out, frustrated. And it you know, what happened to me back to back when I hit the peak, when I was at the top of my game, you know, one of the top in the business and top this, top that. And then you're on these stages, you're on these platforms, you're looking at the audience, but it's called imposter syndrome. Mm. It's like, well, I really deserve to be here. And the issue was it wasn't that I didn't feel like I deserved to be there, but I knew that I was supposed to be doing more with the platform that I had that was even greater than just me being a success story, but it was more about the transformational impact that I could have on other people. So last year, I made a decision. I made a decision that this year, whatever it costs me, I'm stepping away from anything that did not create a level of fulfillment or alignment with what I feel I'm assigned to do in the season, mm-hmm. and with the platforms that I had. And what that allowed me to do is I stopped looking at everybody else. Mm-hmm. And if I did see what they were doing, I was able to cheer them on and applaud them, but not feel like I need to do what they're doing. Mm-hmm. It was stay in your lane, stay focused on your path, stay right. committed to your cause, and do what you got to do for you, even if it means scaling back some so that you don't try to keep, because it's kind of like an artist, right, that comes out with a number one album, mm-hmm. or a number one solo. The next one has to be even greater than the first.
Better. Yeah.
Right? It's all that pressure. And if, let's say I sold 1 million albums the first time, and this time I only sell 500,000. Now I'm depressed, like, oh, I suck. I only sold 500,000.
That's exactly what happens.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be that person who you start becoming a frustrated artist because you're trying to compete with yourself. Mm. I'm understanding that it's no longer about what it looks like. It's about what it feels like. And how does it put me in a state of fulfillment? Does it fulfill me? Mm. And so this year I've stepped off a lot of platforms. Mm. You know, honestly, I haven't been taking any interviews. People have asked me to be on their webinars. And I said, nope, this was my year of being selfish.
Right.
I wasn't trying to do things to appease people. I needed to get clarity of what does Nicole need to do that Nicole knows is where she's supposed to be. And it's been the best thing. I mean, I don't think this has been my biggest money earning year, obviously, because I really took the time out for myself. Right. But it's been the best blessing because what's happening now is I'm beginning to create such a quality of content that even without a perfect brand or beautiful graphics or a brilliant Facebook ad, I'm driving such a following of people that are hungry and thirsty for what I'm sharing that I know that I'm in the right place. And so, you know, being authentically you is the greatest gift you can give yourself. And that's how I avoid that whole situation.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I totally agree with you, because I just went through one myself. You know, I have a big platform, you know, and I have some customers, and I got burnt out, you know, or let me say I got a little lazy. I didn't want to deal with the chargebacks. I didn't want to deal with certain fulfillments. I was like, you know, let me leverage this other platform, because the deal was good, the deal I was presented with. But it came back to be the same thing. You're beating the dead horse, and then you leave a certain level of control in the hands of people that don't necessarily have your best interest at heart. They're just about the companies. At the end of the day, it's about their company. And sometimes maybe about that company can align with your own purpose. Maybe, I don't know. But you said it right. Fulfillment. If you're not feeling fulfilled, whatever that is, then something is absolutely wrong, and you must change it. Yeah. Now, you were a part of a company that rhymes with artist. That's how I remember. And there was a lot of activities in Nigeria, the country Nigeria at the time, right? Mm-hmm. What was that experience like? You had a team in Nigeria.
I did have a team. I still have people all over the country in different companies that I've been a part of that I still get paychecks for. Hallelujah.
Nice.
You know what? So I started off in MLSP. Then I got into that network marketing company. And that was the first company where I was able to take everything I learned from MLSP and put it to work. Because I had never before, you know, before in network marketing, I was doing all the offline stuff. And it drove me crazy. Like, the last business I was in was right before we went bankrupt. And man, I spent thousands of dollars. I was charging up my credit card to do hotel events, rental cars, and, you know, flights, trying to be like the leaders in these companies who was lying to us, because I didn't know they had passes and all the stuff that they were using for their flights. I'm paying full price for my flights and, you know, dropping $500 for a meeting space when only five people would show up, and getting refreshments and all this crap. And I was so burned out when I got out of that company. I said, I will never, ever do this again. And I thought I was done with MLM. But because of MLSP and all the wonderful things I learned, I was able to put that to work with that next company. Mm. And it took me from being broke, bankrupt, and homeless, pretty much, to earning over six figures within my first 6 to 9 months. I can't remember, but my first check was $1,500, second was $38, the third was like $12,000, and my fourth check was $21,000 or $22,000. And it's because I was able to put MLSP skills in place, right, and I never left my house. I was literally able, that YouTube challenge changed the game for me. I leveraged YouTube.
The video challenge, right? You did. Yes. You did.
YouTube became my secret weapon. And it's still to this day how I get the majority of my business. It's how I build my online presence. Now we have live stream and stuff like that. So it coincides with the whole video concept. But it really did bless me. It made me realize that all the time I had put in, sitting in front of my computer, literally I had gotten LASIK surgery in 2005. By 2009, I was wearing glasses again. Because I was spending so much time in front of the computer, my eyes were deteriorating because it was just nonstop like this, like all day. Yeah. But it showed me that it worked. And that company did me well. I mean, there's nothing greater than getting in companies and getting big checks fast. Like, yeah, you know, and obviously it was 18 months of constant learning before that happened. It was good. It was good. You know, I got burned out in the company because I had made a decision to be an online marketer, but network marketing is belly to belly. I don't care how you try to lace it, case it, trace it, however you want to create it. People need relationships and they need that touch when you're building a team. Mm-hmm. And so I started traveling all over the world, and I got to London, and we were doing an event in London, and I was like, I don't want to be standing in front of these people talking about products. I want to be standing in front of them talking about leveraging the internet. And I realized it was a misfit. That's when I realized, I'm making a lot of money in this company, but I really love my space and focus on social media and internet marketing. And so in London, in front of the Buckingham Palace, we were taking pictures. Everybody was shooting videos about the company, and I couldn't talk about the company. I was like, I don't want to talk about them. I'm talking about how to build your brand on the internet. Mm. You're done. Huh?
I was like, yeah. I know exactly that feel. And it gets, you know, the old suckers, you know, cult feel doesn't really sit well with me as well, too. I like when we can use some of those things to build a business, but I also like for people to maintain who they are, you know, which is why I like the idea of branding. And I believe some of the most sustainable business models in the world always involve that. at least on a personal level. You know, Amway may be there forever. Kudos to them, right? but when we look at how many companies are starting every day and how many are going under, that number is something to pay attention to. You know? So now, you are also a part of a company that rhymes with beadwork. More power beadwork, right? And
wow.
More power beadwork. More power beadwork. That took you a minute. Come on. More power.
I have the shirt on.
More power network.
Yeah, I have the shirt on.
Oh, you do? Okay, all right, cool.
Common Blog Daily.
That's the logo right there. Yeah. So uh-huh. I don't mind mentioning their name, but because of YouTube, you know, there are people actually that absolutely hate on them.
Yeah.
They would just go searching, using bot to search, and then they would shut down the whole thing. So trying to avoid all those people. But yeah, that company, and I actually interviewed David Wood not too long ago on this platform. So it was a good interview. Now, that company, I noticed at one point that you just disappeared, right? Not only that, I noticed, you know, I was about 3 years ago, I was watching, at the time, one of my favorite channels to watch was BET and the other one, Centrium, right? And boom, I just stumbled across the show. And it was a bunch of network marketers that were on the show, and the feel of it looks so familiar because they never mentioned the name of the company on there, and that was how I started to follow the young lady Stormy Wellington, right? Mm-hmm. And before I knew it, she's in the bar network. I'm like, whoa, that's weird, but she ended up in there, and we ended up we had a conversation at one of the events that she came to, and. It was one of those things where you knew that she's in the wrong place too. Mm-hmm. She was trying to fit in, but it wasn't fitting. Mm-hmm. And she was, once you disappeared and I couldn't find you, I found out that you guys are partnered together on a venture into another world entirely. Now, as of recently, I noticed that you're paying a little bit more attention to your brand.
Yeah.
What's going on? What's going on? When are we going to get to where we need to be at?
You know what? Every company has been a stepping stone, but unfortunately, when you hear in your spirit what you're supposed to be doing and you deny it for the sake of sticking with what's good when you should be pursuing where you know you're going to be great, mm-hmm. What happens is you end up in that repetitious cycle of the entrepreneurship rat race. You know, getting into that company was a easy transition. It's the same audience. Similar platform, you've already mastered it, you already have the following, you already have the list, you have the people. I mean, it was a logical decision. But in my heart, I knew that I was called to do something greater. The difference was, this was already done for you. My path was a path of least, you know, of the road less traveled. And to say that I followed the crowd would be the easiest way to define the decision that I made in both decisions, both in the company with the shirt I got on and the company after that. I knew after in 2010, when I walked away from that company, we were in London, I knew that I was supposed to go and pursue my whole mission is really big personal development. And I tell people business is my ministry. Right. So I'm really into the heart of what you do and how to create the greatest level of impact that will produce a big profit for you. I believe that if you stay in alignment of your platform and where you know you're supposed to be properly positioned with your purpose and all those things, you'll get the profits like I just do. And so I followed the path of least resistance. Mm-hmm. And in both of them, I mean, you know, the first with this company, I made almost $800,000. And then the next company, I did 200 grand in a year, less than a year, right? In about 8 months. And so making the money in those things were the easiest routes. Mm. But it was the most unfulfilling, honest, like heart to heart with yourself, like, Nick, you know you're supposed to be doing something different. Mm. And the issue with me was, once again, when you get used to making a certain level of income, you skip into something that is guaranteed money.
Yeah.
Even if you want to, you truly want to create an impact in that arena. But you know, I had so many times where I was on those stages and I just knew in my heart, you ain't supposed to be up here.
Yeah.
So where I am now, and I had a good, honest heart to heart talk with a friend. I was in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
You might know him, Nate. We're in San Diego. Nate came and got me, and we riding around, and we went out to eat. And he said to me, he said, "Nick, you know what I hate about you?" Mm. And I said, "What?" He said, "You're holding back." He was like, mm. "Everybody's waiting for you to step into where." He said, "Everybody can see it, but I don't know what's holding you back, but the world is waiting." And I was like, and this dude's like 24, 25 years old, and he gets it. Like, and I'm like, "You're right." And I didn't know what was holding me back. Mm. But I think what it was once again, what you talked about earlier is you have these levels you expect you're supposed to be at. Like everybody's watching you saying, "Well, you should be doing this and you would be doing that," or "such and such is doing this. Why aren't you with them?" And I just had to make an active decision to break away from the crowd and say, "You know what, y'all, I'm proud of you. You know, there's opportunity servicing every day that I know we can kill it and dominate, make millions of dollars, but I'm not interested. I'm going to stay in this lane and vein that I know I'm supposed to walk in." And if it means sacrificing something to do it, even your income for the first couple of years, peace of mind to me in this season of my life means so much more than how much I can say I made on the stage.
Right.
It doesn't mean I'm going to go broke. It just means that I'm willing to sacrifice so that I can have my energy going into something that I know I'm supposed to be doing that will bring such a long-term benefit versus these short-term gigs. Like, this stuff is short-term money, man. It's short-term money. You come in, you make 200 grand, company go on to, it's a new company you got to do. It's like a hustle. And I tell people, a hustle will bring you a dollar for a day, but systems and skills will bring you money for a lifetime. If you understand how to really invest in the right things that can really expand your reach, and you what you're supposed to do, you'll have money coming to you every single day for the rest of your life. You know, it won't take a lot of effort. So that's where I'm at. You'll see 2017, Nicole is unveiling who she really is and finally stepping into where I know I'm called to be. And I'm literally, I talked about earlier, I'm shifting everything I need to right now.
Right.
It'll be released soon. But I'm shifting a lot of our lifestyle and everything to support where I really want to be so that I'm no longer under the pressure of trying to keep up with the Joneses of internet marketing or
industry. Absolutely. Or network marketing. And I'm agreeing completely with Nate, because I feel like you said short term, you know, sometimes short term can be as long as 3 months. Can be as long as the next company that you jump on board. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it's just one day. You know, you get that short-term feel, but it's coming very clear that if you really want true freedom, yes, we're still talking about money, you know, but we're talking about money that makes sense, money that comes with freedom, right? We're talking about money that you will make a whole lot more, but you needed to stay the course of building that brand onto that point where it takes off on its own, and you're still doing, it's just a system, it's a skill, but it's something you love to do without having to trade in. And that thing keeps coming back, and that's the new rat race thing that people need to pay attention to. The new entrepreneurial rat race. It's new, and I detected it, but I've detected it a few years back, as far back as 2012, when I started to sell my coaching. But you know, because it's a struggle, you find yourself back in, "Oh yeah, they said this was the real deal. You know, they said this is, you know, it's looking good. All these guys are showing checks. Maybe I don't like the showing checks either, but you know, I can make the money," right? Behind the scenes, but it's the same thing. And I like to keep this platform real. This kind of conversations where, you know, they don't talk about this ever. They don't talk about the struggles that we go through as leaders. It's just all about continue the rat race. Just keep pushing people in. But eventually, because it's not sustainable, it crumbles anyway, the whole thing. You know?
People are into selling illusions. And I'm always, it's funny, I go back and I look at what I wrote back in 2008 on my Twitter profile. And I said, "I'm the one to call out the pink elephants. If there's something that I don't feel good about, I'm going to talk about it. I don't care who industry is going to expose. I don't care, because I'm not in this to mislead people. I'm in it to show people what works and what doesn't work." And what doesn't work is chasing just the money and the illusion. Because like they say, all money ain't good money. And there's levels of protection, right? You know, as somebody taught me this, she said, there's four levels to protection. The first level is you want to protect your money. When you're just getting exposed, you're like, "Oh my God, I don't want to spend money." You're like really wanting to protect your money because you're in your limited thinking. It's all you have. But when you get over that, the next level is your vision. Your vision becomes your baby. It's like, I don't want to share my vision because somebody might steal it. I don't want to tell somebody even though I need help because, whatever. You're not worried about the money, but you're protecting your vision. Hmm. But then you get over that. You say, well, in order for me to really live out this vision, I got to incorporate people. So that next level is time. You say, okay, in order to really create what I want to create, I need to protect my time. So I'll share my vision, get the right people, I'll pay them so I can get my time back. Because if I don't share this vision, I'm going to be a slave to it, mm-hmm. right? But then after the time, you finally realize, okay, I want to protect my time, but I really want to protect my energy, yes. right? I want to protect who got access to me. I want to protect the level of conversations I have. I want to protect the level of relationships that I have. If there's somebody trying to dictate what I do, I want to remove them out of my circle. You start wanting to protect your energy. And I've gotten to the levels where I'm over the first three. I'm really learning how to protect my energy. Mm-hmm. And that's why, from a network marketing standpoint, I reposition myself because I don't want everybody to have access to me. Mm-hmm. You know, in the last business that I was just in, I pulled the plug. I was a leader, you know, top recruiter on stages, got all these awards and, you know, generating all this income. But I called everybody and said, pull me from your platforms. I don't want to be on your platforms anymore. Mm-hmm. And the reason why is because whenever you become a leader in somebody else's field and they're in their company, they feel like they own you.
They do. Own them something, but, they, right? But there's truth to that a little bit, no?
They do own you. They do own you because your check is always a threat if you don't surrender and submit to how they want you to function, right? And I just got to a place where I feel like somebody was always trying to tell me what to do. And what really got under my skin is I did a mastermind. I was traveling all over the country. Me and my husband and my kids, we did a 5,000-mile road trip. So every city, main city we were in, we would do a mastermind. It wasn't catered to that company. It was catered to me sharing what I know with different people who follow me. And I started getting phone calls about how you're using our platform to sell your programs. And I'm like, you know what? I came into this business with this knowledge. Mm-hmm. And before I got into your company, y'all were so excited because you know the following I have. Right. Now, all of a sudden, the following that I have, you feel like you got control over them because now they're following me mm-hmm. and I'm under your company brand and you feel like I'm taking your people and putting their focus on something. It was just too much. Yes. And so I really believe in protecting my energy and I'm at a point, man, let me tell you, I'm so happy where I am. And that is doing what I want to do, how I want to do it without anyone else governing or posting my time or what it is that I do and dictating what I do. So yeah, man, that's what it takes. Like everybody's not here. Some people need to go through that. Everybody's in different chapters.
Absolutely. Like,
so this isn't to say that everybody needs to pull away, but when you know it's time to go, it's time to go. It's like a relationship. It's like dating somebody that you know you're not going to marry. Mm-hmm. I know you ain't going to be my spouse. Why am I wasting my time? You gotta go. Bye. Yeah.
Now, what would you say to somebody that says, hey, but everybody cannot be a guru? If everybody becomes guru, what do you have again? What would you say to that kind of person?
I mean, you're a guru in your own lane. Everybody can be a guru at what they do well. I think the problem is we're defining guru under one definition. It's a one-size-fits-all environment, and it's not a one-size-fits-all environment. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not a guru over internet marketing as much as I have the platform of internet marketing. I suck, really. I'm not a good internet marketer. I'm just a great speaker. Like, mm-hmm. I know how to connect with people. I'm an authentic person. So I suck at I don't do paid advertisement. I'm not the best at social media. I'm not even the best at video marketing, but I do it consistently. It's my message that connects with people. It's not my skill that makes me a guru. Right. So I tell people all the time, like, it's my success is in my authenticity to be who I am on a platform that gives me the market to share it with. Absolutely. So I think people get that mixed up, that they have to be, I really decided this year I don't want to be an internet marketing guru. I'm going to hire a team. I don't want to know every sales funnel strategy. I don't want to have to worry about email segmentation and CRM. I don't want to know every social media. I don't want that. Now I'm hiring I just hired a team of people. Mm-hmm. They figured all that out. I don't want to take every certification course. I don't want to buy every training on Facebook ads and Instagram. I don't care about that stuff no more. Mm-hmm. If I can find one person that specializes in each thing and I just devote an extra amount of my monthly income to them, I'm doing it now. Because I realize my gift is not in being the guru in that. My gift is being the guru in my message.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely correct. And I, you know, I tell people, you're worried about being another guru? Well, guess what? There's very low competition once you get to this level where we're talking right now. where you understand you've gone through the journey. You know, most people don't even go through the journey. No. Or try to look in their brain and see, why am I feeling the way I'm feeling? Or actually create results. Because we're talking about this because we created results too, right? And we know that, okay, we created a result, but we need a little bit more. We want a little bit more. And there's low competition at that level. So if you still need to go through what you go through, if you still feel like you need to be tagged along with a company because you think them paying you $100,000 is going to become fulfillment for you, absolutely knock yourself out. Go through that process. If you get on the other end and you still feel the same way, kudos to you. That would mean that's your lane. And I guarantee you, it's probably a low competition at that level too, at the $100,000 level. But we're talking a different level right now. We're talking about where you don't need to count your money. The money is coming in anyway. We're talking about coming at $1 million per month because that brand is just that powerful because you're serving that much. So we're not kicking money to the side. We're just saying there's a better type of money. And that's always, we've known this forever, but we're still struggling with it. That's always attached to doing what you love to do.
Yeah.
Powerful stuff.
There's, I tell people all the time, there's a million and one ways to make $1 million. You just have to know your lane. And I would also say, you know, just in support of that last question about people who, the worried about guru, the biggest thing people can do for themselves in this season is turn off their social media, stop following everybody, get off of everybody's email list and spend some time alone and really figure out what you really, really want to do. Because I think the biggest trap is when we start comparing ourselves and looking at everybody's chapter 10 or chapter 40 when we're in chapter 1. And we don't even have a sense of clarity of what direction we want to go in. So we start following everybody's path. And I did a video the other day. I said it reminds me of a dog that I had named Petey who chased every car that went up and down our street. He felt the need that he had to chase every car that passed our house. And Petey ended up dying because he got hit by a car. Most people feel like they got to chase every car that passes them by, every social media brand, every email list that they get on, every product for sale. They're chasing every car, and eventually it's going to kill them because it's going to sabotage the clarity that they need to get them to their destiny. And so, you know, I tell people, turn off the noise. Right. Like, that's the best gift you can give yourself, and really spend time saying, what do I want? What brings me the greatest level of fulfillment? And what is the vision that keeps surfacing in my spirit that I know I need to pursue? Because that is, dreams are illustrations from your book that your soul is writing about you. Your dreams show you where you're called to be if only you pay attention to it.
Yeah, absolutely. If you've never seen big money before, chances are you may struggle with understanding this stuff a little bit, but you know, trust me, just trust me, just look out, you know. For me personally, I enjoy teaching internet marketing. I enjoy teaching what I do. You know, if I do the thing very well, I enjoy teaching it. The old chasing, hey, just join this, you're going to make money, I hate it. And you know, if you take just one thing, just one tip, and you took it to your own lane, and that helped you go to the next level, that's really all I ask for. You know, that's all that really makes me happy, honestly. I don't want to help you make $100,000. That may mean you making $100,000 because I showed a little skill to you or something like that. But I, you know, then you really start to look at things as pyramid scheme or scam or whatever you want to call it. That's where we attract some of the worst type of human beings, you know, people that really don't want to work. But if somebody sign up for a course or sign up for a personal development course because they want, I mean, the quality of prospect doesn't really get better than somebody who wants to increase their skills or improve how they think.
Yep.
But, you know, so beautiful stuff. Now, you're a housewife, not housewife, but you're a wife, right? You're a very smart lady. And if anybody listening, if they haven't figured that out, I don't know what to tell you, but you're a very smart lady, okay? And there are many smart women. I think women are smart, generally speaking. That's why I'm rooting for women becoming president, but I want them to qualify for that as well too, right? Now, how do you balance that out? I don't have that situation. My wife is a very smart girl, but she doesn't talk as much. She's not going to tell you everything she knows. She's not going to offer, she's not going to turn on the video and start talking and start advising people, right? Or that's simply not her lane. How do you, if you're married, right, usually the other person is not as much as a talker. I'm a talker. the person I'm married to is not as much as a talker. I met your husband, but we haven't really sat down and talked, right? So I'm assuming it's not as much as a talker as you are.
Not at all.
Where do you find this balance? How does that work?
You know, I think we figured out years ago, a couple years, maybe 3 or 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. I remember he was traveling with me to events, and he would get to these events and he was bored out of his mind. You know, he would try to fit in, but you could just tell it was like a fish out of water. And he was like, why am I here? We would have to set up parents to fly in to take care of the kids. And it was just like this big ordeal of orchestrating the whole process. And so one trip we were going to Charlotte, I was speaking in Charlotte, and he was supposed to come and he didn't. He just stayed home and watched the kids. And we were on the phone and I had a layover, and he was like, you know, I asked him, I said, what do you really want to do? I was like, do you feel that you should be on the road with me, or do you feel like you prefer to be at home? He was like, I'd rather be home making sure everything's taken care of. Because my husband is like an amazing cook and he's so good with the kids. And, you know, he really does fulfill a great role domestically at home. Mm. And he gets stuff done. He like makes sure everything is orchestrated when I'm on the road traveling. And so we discovered in that season that he loves to be make sure everything was straight at home while I'm on the road. Mm. And we made a decision. He was going to be a stay-at-home dad. And he would do his videography and stuff at home. He would focus on, my husband is into screenwriting, and we're about to launch his own t-shirt line. And there was all these endeavors he wanted to do. And I'm like, okay, I know how to do that stuff. So I helped set it up for you. Mm-hmm. If you can just make sure that this piece of it is covered at home. And he was like, yeah, I love that part. Like, he didn't want to be on the road with me. He felt it was unnecessary. Mm. So we started really getting clear of where each other prefers. Like when it comes to business, he would tell me, I'm not an entrepreneur. He's the kind of guy, he'll get a job and stay there for 40 years. He's loyal. He believes in working his way up to the top. He doesn't think like an entrepreneur. He doesn't have that hustle mentality. Like, you know, the other day I was doing something. I'm like, I'm gonna make $1,000 a day. Yeah. And when it was done, I made $1,500. I was like, look, and he was like, that's not me. Like, yeah. I would never be that person, because I told him my goal every day is to make X amount of dollars a day, and I'm gonna do what I gotta do. Like, he'll see me running around here doing stuff. He's like, what are you doing? I'm like, don't worry about it. I'll show you in a second. So we just understood where each other's roles were, like where our strengths were, and we support them. Mm-hmm. You know, my husband to this day still can't always tell people what I do. You know, he's like, something on the internet. Ask her, hook up with my wife. She'll tell you what she does. And he'll listen in conversation, but we just know where each other's strength is. I mean, we've been married for 13 years, going on 14 years. And so by this time in the journey, we're clear as to who's strong at what. Mm. When it comes to making money, I got it, right? When it comes to cooking a mean meal, he got it, right? This dude will like cook gourmet meals. We'll go to restaurants. He'll come home and like put a whole spread in place. And the kids, with tutoring them and making sure they know their math drills and all that stuff. Like, he's on it all the time. Mm. So it just works. I think not competing with your spouse is the number one rule, but honoring their strengths is the second rule. Like, knowing what are they good at and how can you allow that? How can you leverage that as an asset to your relationship, mm-hmm. and not looking at them as weak? Because my husband was like, well, I'm just. I'm like, no, you're not just. Mm-hmm. Your role is as important as mine.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
So he asked me, he said, okay, can you not say this how much I made today? Can you say this how much we made, right? And I'm like, yeah. You know, he's like, well, when you get a check, can you say we earned, right? And I'm like, sure. And that made him feel included in the process and not like it's just me doing everything. And so we had to grow to get to this point, but yeah, it just, it is what it is.
So it comes down to the communication and that clear, be clear about it over time.
And hearing them out, like I started asking like, okay, how do you really feel about what you're doing with me? And he'll be like, man, I don't know what we're doing. Like, what are we doing? When he was trying to work with me, he was like, I would get him to sit down and watch videos on internet marketing and he would go to sleep. He was like, no, you teach me. I'm like, if you can't sit and watch videos, this ain't the industry for you. Cause that's all.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to sit here and just be spoon feeding you this stuff that you really don't have an interest in. Yeah. Either you want to do it or you don't. He's like, not really. I'm like, okay, cool.
Yep.
You want to do it, we'll do it. And
And you talk about, you know, just encouraging their strength. And that same, very similar stuff that I've had to go through with my wife. And It's that's why I love this interview, is because it's, you know, our world can be a little bit lonely sometimes.
Yes.
And just this, having this kind of conversation kind of helps us through and understand that, you know, it's not just you that's going through that. I've had, my wife is also somebody, she helps me in the business, but she just want to know what to do so she could go do it.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to know the whys.
Yeah.
She's not going to get no creative. And that's a strength, because for us, we, in the midst of doing something that's a system already, we get creative and we want to change it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You go through that too?
We become engineers. Like, we want to re-engineer stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've had to understand her. I don't have a car. I tell people I don't have a car. Yes, I did buy, I bought some cars over the years. So recently, I bought a BMW. It's not mine. It's hers. I don't leave this place. In most cases,
What city are you in?
What's that?
What city are you in?
I'm in Woodbridge, New Jersey.
In Jersey, okay.
Yeah, in Jersey. So I don't, you know, I haven't been outside in 4 days straight. You know,
you gotta change that though. That'll drive you nuts.
And it's true. And it's true. And I have to, and I've had to do something about that too. I had to get outside a little bit more over the past year because we're doing really a lot of deals, and so we have to go see properties and stuff like that. That was one of the reasons why I had to do that, because again, there's balance that's needed in everything in life. And that's one of the things that I had a backache not too long ago. My doctor told me, because I was sitting down too long. I was sitting down for the past 5 years, on and on, you know, so all those things are dangerous one way or the other.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. One question, sales and conversion. Essentially, this is about making money. What is your mindset about sales conversion?
That's the purpose of your business. I think it's critical to have numbers. I tell people all the time, you need to know your numbers. So for me in business, my baseline is I want to get $1,000 a day every day. And everything that I do, everything that I generate, I want it to bring a minimum of passive income of $1,000 a day. So the way that I'm restructuring my business is to understand how many people I need to get eyeballs on, what systems I need to put in place to be able to create conversions, what upsells need to be set up. You know, as much as we're here to impact, inspire, and transform, we're also here to create profits. Mm-hmm. And so the way that I'm restructuring my business now is just that. Every blog post is going to be about a conversion. Every podcast is about a conversion. Every video, every live stream, everything, every email sent out, it's about giving something that is going to create the market share, the numbers that will create some level of conversion to the products and things that I have in place. Right. So sales and conversions is the name of the game. And I think what's happening right now is so many people are so caught up on strategy that they forget sales. Mm. It's like, oh, I gotta make sure I got the Facebook ads going. I gotta make sure that I have my, I'm on social media and I'm doing 10 posts a day on Instagram, and that I did 5 Snapchats and I'm done 10 videos. And it's like, dude, is that producing money? Like, what's going to produce cash flow for you on a day in and day out basis? And, you know, one of my coaches taught me years ago, he said, every day you got to ask yourself, what did I do to produce income now? What am I doing right now that's going to produce the amount of money that I would like to produce every single day? And so what I've done is I pulled away from being busy to focus on being profitably productive. And when I say that, it is everything that I do is designed to produce profits in my business. And so I realized that my business was a mess.
Right.
You are in these companies and you're just promoting a company.
Right.
You end up losing sight of how to produce profits outside of signing somebody up. And so I'm restructured. Like, this year has been focused on restructure.
Okay.
And recreating a foundation to really redo that. So yeah, sales and conversions, that's why we're in business.
That's why we're in business, right? And I've seen on Instagram, you see a lot of activities, like for example, in the real estate investing, you know, there's a lot of people following some gurus telling them, you know, just film yourself, selfie, walk into a courthouse, film yourself doing everything. And then when I see all of that, it makes me feel a little, like my stomach turned a little bit, like, but how does this turn to money though? I guess maybe you can build a brand, but a lot of them, when they do it for 7 days, they stop. They do it for 14 days, they stop. They do it a little bit and then they stop, right? And, you know, obviously you're never going to get anywhere in the game of entrepreneurship doing anything a little bit and stopping. If somebody was to get started in a business deal, venture, something like that, how long is a benchmark that you would say, hey, do it for this long. If nothing changes, then you can feel the need to consider switching. How long would you say?
About 12 to 18 months for being consistent.
Consistency, 12 to 18 months.
And have goals. Like, people just get in business and be like, I want to be rich. Like, everything that I do, I got a blueprint for it. Mm. You know, the last business I joined, I studied the comp plan for 2 weeks before I said yes. And I knew I needed 50 people to join with me. I needed 10 people frontline. I needed to help each of them hit a certain rank. I know my numbers. Like, I'm very scientific when it comes to producing results. And so a lot of times, like, I'm very motivational and all that. People think that there's no, like, strategy, but I'm very strategic in everything that I do. Like, I know my numbers. I know how much money I want to make in a year. Right. I map everything out for my businesses. Even now, you know, with the new business that I'll be launching in January, I have a $1.2 million business plan for everything that's going to happen every single week over the course of 2017 to get to $3 to $4 million every quarter. I mean, $300,000 to $400,000 every quarter. And it's mapped out to a science. I know what different posts need to go out, blog posts, what kind of ads need to be ran. Like, I map everything out to a T. Sometimes I get feedback.
Oh, keep going. Sometimes it does that.
Oh, okay. So anyway, yeah, so be strategic. Know your numbers, have a blueprint and plan in place, and put forth the work. Yeah.
Now, so you just said something right there. You know, people get into the game. If it doesn't work 2 weeks, they just drop it. They take this $1 trial, they just drop it. You're saying, listen, if you plan on winning as an entrepreneur ever, forever, ever, you got to have a 12 to 18 month plan. Written down something like a plan, you know, as opposed to some of these other deals you see all over the place where people are just jumping on something expecting magic to happen.
Yeah. I mean, entrepreneurship is more than just saying I work from home. I think people are attached to titles and ideas and concepts and illusions. It's about one of my favorite shows is The Prophet. If you spend time watching Mark Lemonis and listening to his conversation.
Mine too, by the way.
Yes. Like, I study him and I watch the same show 5 times and listen to what he's saying. Mm-hmm. We have to understand that running a business is about producing profit consistently every single day over and over again. Yeah. And identifying the activities that support the profit production. You know, so you got to invest in what does that look like? Like, right now, I was just telling somebody today how to restructure my business properly to protect me in taxes, putting a bookkeeper in place, getting the right CPA, making sure I got the right incorporation. Mm. You know, people, I was being filed taxed as an LLC. I'm really set up as an S corp. How to make sure. I mean, you got to invest in, you got to know what you're doing. And I think this work from home has become so casually a hobby that people don't understand. It's a real business. Like, people ask me all the time, what are you doing? I got so many systems in place. I'm putting standard operating procedures. I have an online business manager where I have project managers over each project, where I'm setting up virtual assistants to support each project manager. Everybody has a system, a routine, a process, a responsibility. Like, I'm literally building my empire now behind the scenes, which means that I am delegating and empowering people to expand the vision. And with that comes sacrifice. You know, I'm cutting checks every week and dealing with taxes and dealing with this, that, and the other. So, you know, it's a matter of, do you want to treat this like a business or do you want to treat it like a hobby? Are you in this to really create long-term success? Are you looking for some short-term side hustle money? If this is a side hustle for you, then keep hustling. But if you put your all into this, you quit your job and you want the freedom. And by the way, all that stuff you see in lifestyle and all that crap, 4-hour work week ain't real. That's an illusion. Yeah. And it takes about 10,000 hours to get to that place. Right. So, you know, it's just a matter of making a decision. Are you in this to really win it? Or are you just hanging around?
I think a 4-hour week is just a message of leverage, not reality, just a message of leverage. You know, where do you see yourself in 5 years from now?
So in 5 years, I see myself producing a company where I'm going to get bought out. Like Lynda.com did, just for $1 billion. Right. But I see myself having a company that is thriving and in a position where a bunch of companies are fishing me out to buy me out. So that's my goal. I'm launching something in 2017 in the fall, and I want to build out on that thing. And I feel like it's going to be the wave of this next economic economy we're about to have, because the economy is about to change again. So I see myself in a position where I have a full-blown company staff office. This business is fully flourishing, and companies are shopping me, trying to buy me out.
Nice. And that, and that, and that's essentially what that means for the audience is you create that much value. That's what that means. If you don't create that much value, you were defining entrepreneurship earlier, and what kept coming to mind was creating. We're not just some, it doesn't mean just have a hobby and just sit. No, it means you're about to create, like literally become some type of God and create value. When you look at WhatsApp with less than 20 employees, IG, Instagram with less than, I don't know, 25 employees and getting bought out for $1 billion, that's not necessarily exactly vacuum. They just created that much value. And if you're approaching business and you're not approaching it from a standpoint of creating value first, then you're missing it altogether. So when somebody says, I'm looking to create a $1 billion business over the next 5 years, that means they're about to get to work. That's crazy stuff. That's thinking big. And I really want to applaud you because that's a big deal for me too, because I'm all about just put some more value out here in the marketplace. Even as an employee, when you go to work, put some value, you know, let become the person that no one wants to get fired, you know, no one wants to replace. Become that person, and that's what it's all about. So what's hot on your plate right now? Like, as in, like, right now, in the next 3 months, you have a product you're creating or something like that?
So in the next 3 months, I know, you know, we had a PLR store. It's called MLMPLRstore.com. We're revamping it to where now we're going to have what is called doneforyouinfoproducts.com. Okay. DFIinfoproducts.com. So what we're doing essentially, what I'm running across in our industry is a lot of leaders who want to get into the training market. They want to create their own training courses. They want to start doing live events. They really want to put their skills to use, but content creation is a pain in the flesh. How do you create valuable PowerPoints? How do you put the freebie ebooks together? How do you do all this stuff? Or do I hire a team to do it? So what we're doing, because I love content and I'm very, very good at discerning where the need of our trends and niches is in the industry, we're creating Done For You Info products where you literally can buy a Done For You fully packaged product. If you want to teach on Instagram, Periscope Profits, Facebook ads or whatever, we'll have a full blown training course for you with the PowerPoints, the scripts, the workbooks to give to your audience, the social media promotions, the ebook giveaways, it has everything, all the one kid in caboodle. Done For You Info products is really positioning ourselves to do that. So come January, we're launching, we have a goal to launch one product a month for the year of 2017. Wow. And then 2018, we'll get into releasing a product every 2 to 3 weeks. So that's the goal. So DFY Info Products is scheduled to launch January 2017. So we're working on that behind the scenes. Nice. I'm also beefing up my whole focus of business is my ministry. It's really getting to a place where I'm talking to people about the heart of what it is that they do and the impact that they're called to create in the marketplace. And my goal is to do a conference spring of next year. Nice. Where we really talk to people about how to create impact in your industry and how to really operate from a place of transformational business, really investing in your people to the point where you're not chasing the next dollar and worried about how you're going to be able to sustain your companies because you have so much impact and value and the structure of your business. I think there's so many of us that just don't know what we're supposed to be doing as entrepreneurs. And I want to really build a marketplace of confidence for people to know that, okay, my business is structured properly. I have a team in place. I know how to hire a VA. I know what I need to be doing to make money. So I really want to help people with all the areas I struggled with. And that's going to be launched in fall, spring of 2017. So
very nice. Very nice. Again, value. You see that little vacuum right there and you're just going to feel it. I think, yeah, absolutely. Like, sometimes you tell people information or product, you got to build your own brand. What do you know how to do? Can you share that with somebody? Can you enhance somebody's life and business? And then they get stuck with the technicalities of creating it. They know what they know.
Yeah. It takes forever.
Yeah. So very nice one. I really, really want to appreciate you for coming here today to give so much value. Where can people find you?
So people can find me at NicoleSCooper.com, N-I-C-O-L-E-S as in Sam, Cooper.com.
Nice. Thank you so much for the value. It's crazy.
Thank you for having me.
Hopefully you've been enlightened and educated. I'll see you on the next one. Peace.
Hey, do you want my steps to six-figure PDF? Do you want that? Do you want my free ebook on how to make six figures income in simple steps? Simply go to networkmarketing2show.com. Networkmarketing2show.com.